And we are joined by Chris Rogers. He is a frequent guest on our show today for a slightly different reason. Good morning, Mr. Vice Mayor of Santa Rosa.
Good morning, Pat.
And you are here because you are you the newest member of the SMART board?
Yeah, there were two of us who came in at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So I am tied for being the newest member.
Okay, well, what a time for you to come in and be a part of the board of directors of SMART. And SMART held their board of directors meeting yesterday, as you've been hearing us talk about this morning. And there was a definitive purpose for that particular meeting and for inviting the people that were invited. Whose idea was it to sort of open up the board meeting and get some members of the community in to talk about what's been happening on the train tracks?
Yeah, I think that it's being driven largely by the general manager, Farhad, as well as the chairman of the board, Gary Phillips, who's also the mayor down in San Rafael.
Yeah, so obviously Marin County is just about as interested in all of this as we are, since the SMART train rolls down there. And of course, we're talking about the number of deaths, many deaths by suicide that have taken place over the course of the last few weeks in particular, and since the beginning of the rail service beginning, which is what the two-year anniversary is next month, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. So we're all trying to figure out what to do, how to break the chain of events. And before yesterday's meeting, what were you being told as a SMART board member about the series of deaths and the reasons for them or the precedent for them in similar rail systems?
Well, I think before yesterday's meeting, I think it was precipitated by a couple of weeks of board members really searching for answers. Because while we know that this is common on public transit systems, and mm-hmm. Before I was on the board, were prepared by Farhad and by staff that this was a possibility, if not an eventuality.
Uh-huh.
The discussion was really about, why is this happening now? Why are we seeing such a spike in them? How do other agencies respond to it? What can we do better to really wrap our arms around the community and figure out solutions?
And one of the main, the main thrusts of this meeting yesterday, which several community members were invited to, also we were there, and one of the gists of it right off the top was that this is not a SMART problem. This is a community health crisis. This is an entire community that needs to pay attention and do something.
No, absolutely correct. The SMART as a general agency really has jurisdiction over the rail line and the multi-use path. And that's done in collaboration with other organizations and other entities. We don't have a mental health arm such as the County of Sonoma or such as many of our nonprofit partners like Buckaloo and NAMI. And it was great to feel like we were part of a larger coalition with folks coming to us and saying, we think we can help. Here's how we can all partner together.
Yeah, it was very interesting to me because in addition to the board members who are always there for those meetings, the rest of us that were sort of in the gallery, I guess, there were entities, businesses, local businesses who really had nothing to do with the meeting, who were had not been asked to speak or anything like that, but were there in large part to show support and to say, we live here too. What's our part in this?
That's absolutely right, Pat. I think that we have seen over the last couple of years in particular that traditional roles within our community are not necessarily adhered to, or we don't require them to be. And when you have businesses who they're not in the mental health industry either, but they have an interest in our community feeling whole and in our train being successful, coming forward and saying that they want to be part of a coalition as well, I think it really does show a full community support.
And I guess probably what the community is wondering the most after listening, to us talk about the meeting and reading it in the paper is, what comes next? What do we do now in terms of breaking that chain and shaking up this circumstance?
Yeah, and I think for me as a board member, I've looked at it through two different lenses. One is on the accidents, the unintended accidents that have happened.
People not paying attention near the tracks, that sort of thing.
Right. What sorts of infrastructure improvements can we make to try to prevent those sorts of things from happening? What types of educational campaigns can we do out in the community to make sure that folks realize that you might want to look up when you're crossing the track, or don't duck under the arms where the bells are going, things of that nature. Those ones that I put in the category of we can learn from each of those incidents from a standpoint of operations. And then there's the ones on the suicide side of things, where I look at it and I say, okay, what additional partnerships can we do? Because oftentimes these folks are not on the rail line previously. They're not our passengers.
Right.
So how do we train our staff to be forward-looking? How do we work with our community partners to monitor mental health? And then how do we work with our media partners in how we tell that story and how we, as a community, talk about suicide and talk about embracing one another and what services are available out there?
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, and we intend to do that over the course of the next half an hour or so with Chris Rogers and also with NAMI, the National Association or Alliance of Mental Illness Sonoma County. So we'll try to cover it all for you over the course of the next half an hour or so, as much as we can, that is. So let's talk about the media part of this, because there was a lot said during that meeting about how the media, and the media, by the way, represented by the Press Democrat and KSR, yesterday, and how we talk about these incidents and these deaths on the air, and your position on that, Chris?
Well, and it's not just you guys as the media. It's also board members. It's also SMART. How are we all talking about it? And I think I used the example yesterday that when an incident happens, the alert that goes out to the community is pedestrian struck.
Right.
And what follows in practicality, if you're following social media, is folks put that message up on social media. They put up an article. They put up whatever they have. And then for a couple of hours before SMART has an opportunity to actually come back with information on what happened,
yeah,
there's wild speculation from the public on whether or not it was a suicide or whether or not it was an accident.
Yeah.
And it creates this additional attention and community conversation that perhaps we as SMART can do a better job of being quicker with facts, or just saying that there's a delay until we have more information.
Well, now we're going to know what that means, though, if you start doing that.
Well, quite frankly, Pat, we know what that means when we see that on the Golden Gate Bridge as well.
Yes, very, very true.
But yet, that's the standard operating procedure that they have, is to put out some of that limited information and not put out every single time about why.
And I think there's a human nature aspect to all of this, where when you're confronted with as many instances in a short period of time, our tendency, as not as broadcasters but as human beings, is, oh my God, another one. You know, that's sort of our gut reaction to it after a certain stage. Let me ask you this. What should we, in your opinion, do differently in terms of our coverage of these events?
Yeah, and I think that you're kind of hitting on the crux of this, which is it's the media's job to report on the human interest and what's in the public's interest.
And also even traffic circumstances that are associated with an incident like that.
Absolutely. And whether we like it or not, that's the way that it needs to be. And so what I would suggest, and I know that you have already had this conversation, I know that you guys do a pretty good job of this as well, is talking about suicide not from a sensational perspective, mm-hmm. Talking about it with facts, with resources, and making sure that people understand more broadly the implications on the community. I'll tell you, there was a study that was done in Vienna in the 1980s. So we've known for decades that this was a thing, that suicide contagion was real.
That's the copycat syndrome, yes?
Yeah, they had a train system that was also experiencing what SMART's experiencing today, a rash of suicides that were happening on it. And the way that the media at the time had been covering it was very sensationalized, not like you've been covering it. And once they actually wrapped their arms around it and the media took it upon themselves to do a more
in-depth
yes, explanation of what was happening and not just going for the headline.
Right.
They saw an 80% reduction in suicides on their train. It's hard for us as policymakers not to notice that you've got this cluster, both in terms of time, but also in terms of geography on where this is happening.
Yeah.
And
in our backyard.
It's happening in Santa Rosa and it's happening in Roner Park.
Yeah.
Primarily. Like I said, it's hard for us not to ignore that. I think that if I was asking the media how to cover these incidents, I would not cover them individually beforehand and after, noting that some of these have been covered both when the initial strike happened
mm-hmm.
and then a follow-up that identified the individual and talked about their family and really pushed in a direction that some of us felt was inappropriate, but rather looking at it from a systems standpoint, not just from one individual personality standpoint.
Well, I think it's natural for us, and I don't know, I don't think that we at KSRO, I don't think we go too in-depth about the family or the circumstances. We do certainly broadcast the identification when that is made, because that is a piece of the story that up until that point had been missing. But I do, so, you know, yesterday as I was listening in the board meeting, and I'm thinking to myself, well, this is a lot of media bashing going on here, and listening to everything else, you know, realizing that that our job to do will continue to be to bring our listeners the stories that have some kind of effect on their lives, as this does. Also, I will say that you know, during and after yesterday's meeting, that you know, I wrapped my mind around it in a different way. And in an expanded way, certainly listening to the board of directors, certainly listening to Farhan and talking about the smart employees, and yes, of course, the engineer on the train, of course, but also the rest of the employees that make up the smart staff, and how affected each and every one of those people has been by these incidences, and the passengers aboard the train. And at the very top of this discussion should be the families of the victims and that sort of thing. So I feel, you know, like I have an expanded view of it this morning that's a little bit different than yesterday morning at this time. So I'm very happy that we were there.
Yeah, and I was happy you were there as well. I think it was easy for the media to feel beat up a little bit from discussion. But
yeah.
I hope what you also took from it was nobody was saying that this is the media's fault, that there is not ever one reason that somebody commits suicide. It's a magnitude, it's a confluence of things. And yes, there's a role that we all play in it. I struggle with this all the time, Pat. Do I post about it on social media
mm-hmm.
and do I talk about it, or would that be...
And how do you talk about
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And up to this point, I have been at a loss for how to discuss it on social media in a way that I felt was productive. And that's sort of what I've been searching for the last few weeks, is how as a board member, how as a policymaker, how do I talk about suicide with my community on something, the train, that I am a huge supporter of,
yeah.
that I do think is really good for this community ultimately, but understanding that there is a broader challenge that we are dealing with now.
There's more to say about this subject, and we will be right back.
I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
922 at KSRO. I'm Pat Kerrigan, and I'm talking with Chris Rogers. He's the vice mayor of Santa Rosa, also a member of the SMART Board of Directors. And that's a twofold thing that is, at this point, is very married together, isn't it? SMART was so long in the cooking process for us, and then almost 2 years ago gets underway, and then you know, is the scene of many of these deaths, and we have to say that some of them have been deemed accidental deaths, certainly people not paying attention to what they're doing or trying to, you know, get across before the train comes, things like that, and but the majority of them have been deaths by suicide, and so that's what's up for discussion. And coming up, we will talk with NAMI about the psychological aspects of all of this and how we as a community can do better. But what's next for SMART in terms of actual changes that could be put into place?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, Pat, is we're going to be doing a lot of publicizing of what resources are available that are out there. Again, as I said, usually by the time somebody gets to that point, there have been a number of different instances that have happened, a number of warning signs that we can help the public to recognize better. I know County Health has a number of programs that are aimed at both training the public in how to
recognize.
Good,
because we need that.
Absolutely.
That doesn't come automatically with our regular education.
Right.
Yeah.
And then organizations like NAMI, who I'm glad to hear you're going to have in, do a really good job of both providing supportive services before, but also supportive services after for family when they've had a loved one who's killed themselves.
Yeah. And that's absolutely essential. You know, and also there was some discussion yesterday during the SMART board meeting about peer support, whether it comes, you know, to the employees of SMART or any of the other people, first responders, et cetera, that come across these, you know, horrifying scenes and have to live with it, have to figure out a way to live with it. So it's the mental health aspect of this is a thread running through the entire community, not just the people immediately and intrinsically involved.
No, absolutely. And I think that that's whether we talk about homelessness or whether or not we're talking about the train or some of the biggest issues in our community all have this common thread of having a need for additional mental health resources in our community.
Homeless situation.
I'd say, and making sure that the community understands what services are currently available to them as well.
Yeah. And a lot of people talked about, you know, maybe putting some additional signage along the train route, particularly in these areas that seem to be popular at the moment. And some people talked about, you know, the phones that you could just pick up and contact somebody directly. But you can't do that every 5 feet of the train tracks.
Well, and it is worth noting, Pat, that since before the train opened, we've had those signs up. Again, this is something that the SMART board did know was a possibility by looking at what happens with other transit systems as well. The real question that we have now is, what can we do additionally, and how do we respond to this current spike that we're seeing and do a sustained effort as it comes to mental health?
Yeah, so there are two things, really. There is one, and you know, we're all into immediacy these days, instant gratification, right? There's the, what do we do today to try to break that chain and affect this circumstance? And then, you know, this age-old question of how do we tackle something as big as, you know, rampant mental illness? It's like every other time it's come up for our community in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes, to some of us, it seems too big to take a bite out of.
And I think that is part of what you were feeling yesterday, where the media was getting a little bit shellacked, is it is a huge problem. And we do look for what aspects of it can we make immediate changes to try to have a measurable impact.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, it's the lower hanging fruit that you can control. And when we talk about media coverage, that's something that we can control quicker. And so that's not to say that is the answer. That's not to say that it's a large chunk of the answer, because it is a broader mental health.
Start.
It is a start. And it's a place that I think, particularly for the board, where we can feel like we have a broader impact that's immediate.
Well, I think the educational part of it is big, and that is county-wide. That should be counties-wide, I should say, because it's more than just Sonoma County affected here. And I will tell you, you know, we're still going to report on deaths that are associated, on deaths, period, wherever they're associated. I will tell you that after yesterday's meeting, the way I wrote the story was a little different this morning than it had been in mornings previous because of that meeting yesterday.
It was really interesting hearing from mental health experts what types of phrases to use and avoid using.
Yeah.
And I'll give one example for your listeners. There was talk about typically folks who are attempting suicide they're not looking for the pain. And so when you cover articles and say things like, died instantly, it sounds a lot less painful than it actually is.
Yeah.
And making sure that you cover it in a real way that addresses the actual impact that it's having on the individual and on the community is important. And I noticed...
And it's a thin line, you know? It really is a thin... It's a little bit of a gray area that we're trying to get, you know, a better color from.
Yeah. And Pat, and that's sort of where I've been at as well, is what can we do from the Smart Board perspective, from my role as the vice mayor, in how we talk about this to make sure that people understand what we're actually talking about. Don't be shy about having the conversations, and I appreciate you having this conversation and pushing out the services that we have that are available to try to help folks.
And that is absolutely essential. And that kind of education and that updated education in terms of what's available in the county is something that we in the media must take responsibility for in terms of disseminating that information. If it makes a difference to one person, then that should be good enough. Chris, I thank you for being here this morning and jumping in and talking about this very important meeting. We are in absolute agreement that it is a community health crisis, and we will continue to tackle it from not just the here's what happened standpoint, but also from the larger implications.
And if I could really fast, Pat, I do want to pull this back from the train specifically as well, because we do see that suicide has been trending up in the United States, particularly around social media. We know that it's a broader community conversation than just the train.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important that people know what services that they have and that we are able to actually talk about this.
And that's exactly why it is not a smart issue. It is a community issue.